First of all, a real community issue in the area of Mount Hawthorne, Leederville. Anyone that's sort of ever been around that area probably knows the old velodrome. That's what it was known as, the old velodrome. It was a stadium built for the what was the forerunners to the Commonwealth Games, the Empire Games, which was held there in the 1950s. So they had to build a velodrome for cycling. The velodrome sort of mutated and became a very well-established soccer club. Floreat Soccer Club have been there for years and years. Lately, there's been money granted by the federal government for the Floreat Soccer Club to go ahead with a redevelopment. A lot of the infrastructure around there is very old and tired and in desperate need of upgrade. And as part of that, they have to work with the council. One of the agreements that they came to was that the council said, look, let's take down all the fencing around the old velodrome, or Litter Stadium as it's known now. Let's take down all the fencing, make it a bit more community access, make it more available to the community to use the, you know, fairly pristine soccer ground that's there in relation to Floreat's state league games that they play, and make it open to the community. So that's what's happened. Well, it hasn't worked out well. Let's find out why. Peter Capsanis is the vice president of Floreat Athena Football Club, and he joins me on the line. G'day, Peter.
Morning, Gary. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
And you. Now, the fencing has come down. I live around that area, so I can see it. The fencing's come down, but you've had some unwanted intruders. Take us through it.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. You're quite right in terms of the background there. So we did express to the council prior to the fencing being torn down that there was likely going to be an escalation in incidents. So since the site's been unsecured by the removal of the fencing, we've seen an increase in graffiti on surrounding buildings and structures, the theft of the speakers that the club had paid and installed in the grandstand during the height of COVID, the constant dog droppings on the pitch with dog owners completely ignoring and dismissing the signs advising of no dogs on the pitch, golfers using it as a driving range, and now just, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, we've had some kind of vehicle enter the pitch, drive onto the pitch. It's either a motorbike or a small vehicle. It's dug up the turf, doing donuts all around the ground. We've got the night series starting in about less than a month away, so it creates havoc for us, anxiety for our members, and it's an extra impost to the City of Vincent ratepayers because under the new 10-year lease negotiations that we struck last year with the council, it's the city that's now responsible for most of the pitch maintenance all year round.
That's right. Now, just take us through it. The pitch, I mean, it's not just a rough and ready sort of soccer pitch for the kids to kick around on a weekend, is it?
No, we host our Premier League. We host three games every Saturday, most every fortnight. Our 18s, our reserves, our seniors. We also host games on the pitch for our seniors and masters and women's teams. The juniors train on there, the seniors train on there, albeit on a rotating basis. It's open to other community groups within the area to use for athletics, carnivals and whatnot as well. So it's not just a paddock to kick the soccer ball around. It's just more than that. We've been the tenant there for the last 35 years with a grandstand, the iconic grandstand, which is only one of two remaining fixtures from the 62 Perth Empire Games, that and the grandstand at Beattie Park. So there's a lot of history, a lot of nostalgia. Someone in the city admin at Vincent, in their wisdom, thought, oh, let's make it more transparent. We've been accused of being a closed shop in more recent years, which is far from the truth. We've had 30 or 40 community groups come through the doors and use the pitch and the club rooms year on year. So we're an open shop. We've always been community-minded, community-oriented. We've got a strong cohort of juniors, mums and dads from the local area who bring their boys and girls week in, week out during the football season. So it's just more than a piece of green grass in the middle. It is, as you say, a pristine surface that's been used by A-League clubs to train on. And we hope, Gary, we hope that we can use this federal money to boost it and rejuvenate it and use it as a training base for the FIFA Women's World Cup in 2023.
Just on the fencing argument, is it in the plans that once the redevelopment's done that you would be allowed to put some fencing back?
So we've had some discussions with council and Football West were at those discussions where, well, city admin, I should say, that if look, it's that if we were to be used as chosen as a training base for the FIFA Women's World Cup in a few years' time, that there could be some kind of portable fencing. But it's already proven early this year during it's already proven to be a bit of a nightmare, because how do you charge? How do you monitor traffic control, traffic management, when you've got the whole stadium now as free rein? It's hard to rope up the whole area.
Well, how do you charge an entry fee?
Well, this is what we've put to council, Gary. Oh. How do we do that? How do we, you know, we need a strong number of, and I urge and appeal to all local residents, if they want to come and volunteer on match days, on Saturdays and Sundays for the amateur leagues, please help us, because, you know, this has been done. We've relented and we said, okay, we're happy to work with council. We're happy to work with this so-called vision that the city admin staff have to open up the gates, literally, to make it more accessible. But now there is damage. There are repeated vandal and graffiti attacks. We've now got this vehicular access or vehicles coming on and damaging the turf. So that's an extra cost to ratepayers, Gary. Mm. Before, when the fences were up, we weren't having these problems. We are now a target. We're now more vulnerable. How do we stop this? Well, we need to appeal to the intelligence now of the bureaucrats at council that, for the benefit of football, for the benefit of 300-400 juniors that we have on our books and growing fast, that we need to secure the site ASAP.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to talk now to Emma Cole. You might want to stay on the line there, Peter, for a minute, but I'm now going to talk to Emma Cole, the Mayor of the City of Vincent. Thanks very much for your time, Emma.
Oh, good morning, Gary.
Just on the fencing issue, it's a stadium, isn't it? Doesn't it need some kind of fencing around it in terms of being able to charge people entry fees? I mean, isn't that just logical?
Well, there's two things, Gary. To be in the league, you do need to have fencing around the pitch itself, and there is that lower fencing around the pitch. One of the issues that we've just discovered today, our parks team have been out and inspected and seen how a vehicle's managed to get onto the pitch because of that fencing around. And we've seen that where there's vehicle access onto the pitch, there's some tarmac that's been laid to keep that fencing open. So we need to correct that. That's going to be something our engineering team can get onto. But in the meantime, they're going to get some chain across so that that will prohibit any vehicles getting onto the pitch. That shouldn't have happened. And just as Peter was pointing out, that's a real something that was really disappointing for all of us. It is something that we've had to call turf masters and say, can you come out and get on to repairing this, the turf? And that obviously costs money, not something that we want to see happening. So we're immediately taking action to stop vehicles being able to access the pitch and coming on through that lower level of fencing. And then there's the external perimeter fencing around the whole facility itself. And that's something that we've been working with the club on to try to integrate, not just for the benefit of the community, but also the club. Britannia Reserve, which is the great big reserve next door to Lidder Stadium, and the stadium. And we've had discussions about where these new chain rooms will be going under the federal grant that we're working with the club to secure. And one of the ideas is to actually open up the old bank of the velodrome to actually allow that access between Britannia Reserve and Lidder Stadium.
Why is that important? I've got to cut to the chase here. Why is that important, Emma? I mean, there is, as you know, I know, there is acreages of grass that the community have free run of off to the left of what is a stadium with a pristine football field in it. Why is it so important to do that? I mean, people have got plenty of room to go and do what they want with their dog or their own footy or their soccer ball or the cricket nets and so on. Why is it so important?
I know it seems that way, Gary, but we actually do need more open space in Vincent, and this is our large area of open space. But we've actually worked with the club on this, and I've met with all of the, you know, the committee members, and we've talked about this, and we're actually doing this in agreement with the club. So this idea, it actually enhances the experience for Florida Senior in that they have their juniors train on Britannia Reserve. They were really hoping to engage people with the stadium and to actually encourage more community membership, and that has been growing, which has been fantastic. Lots of local kids are joining the club. We've seen a real change. I've got girls' teams happening. It's been absolutely brilliant, and we're really impressed and support the work that the club are doing. But this idea has been canvassed closely with the club. We absolutely understand that the turf needs to be protected.
So then why can't they put up a fence back around the perimeter? It might not have to look as ugly as the one that was there, but why can't they just have some form of fencing that might not even be as high, but something that's a barrier to vehicles and something that is also a problem if you want to walk into the ground, it's easy to do now without paying. Yeah. But why shouldn't they be able to charge an entry fee?
Well, Gary, as I said, the perimeter fencing around the pitch should stop vehicle coming on, and we're dealing with that.
But it didn't. A motorbike wouldn't stop at all.
No, that's because the gates have been held open. They've been tarmacked open. This is something that's historic that the city hasn't done, and we're fixing it. We're fixing it today. We're putting chains across so no cars can come on. And then there's the broader issue. I think we're in a transition period at the moment. One of the issues is that along Britannia Reserve, where you've got the ability for neighbours to sort of see what's happening at the stadium, at the moment there's a big fence along the street so that you don't have any surveillance of what's happening in the grandstand, and I think that's one of the current problems.
I'm lost, Emma. You've lost me. I mean, I'm a sports nut and you've lost me. Why is that important for the locals to be able to see you? I mean, there's grounds all over the place. Inglewood have got a stadium which is fenced off. It's used for semi-professional football, and it's a community service because it allows juniors to join and play and so on, but it doesn't have to be kind of like just wander in or be able to see from your living room what's going on inside. I don't understand it.
Well, I'm talking more about surveillance for some of this antisocial behaviour that's happening. Like at the moment, it is somewhere where you can go in and do, burnouts or do things and you're not
getting
that surveillance
happening. Because the fence is down. Because the fence has come down now.
But the fence isn't completely down, Gary.
Pretty much.
That's what I'm saying.
There's one line of it, but you can enter that ground now very easily. It sounds like you're losing the plot there at the council in relation to not accepting that it's a stadium. It's a stadium. It needs to be protected in some way, and it needs to be the facility that it is for what it is, not for...
Okay, Gary, well, what I've just told you is that we've found out that this happened late yesterday afternoon. We've immediately called Turf Masters. We immediately had our parks team out there today doing an assessment of what's going on. We're immediately putting the chain fence across to stop vehicle access onto the pitch. We understand that we don't want graffiti and we don't want vandalism happening at this site. This is something that the city is responsible for. It's not only bad for the club, it's bad for us and our community. So, of course, we want to take action. In terms of the other issues around opening up the stadium to Britannia Reserve, that is something that we have been working hand in hand with the club, and we've been having discussions about where they want their change rooms to go and how they want that interaction with Britannia Reserve. You know, these are the conversations that I've been sitting around the table with the club having. We've got a great relationship. Personally, I have a great relationship with the committee members. I've been extremely open about our plans and what they want to get out of this, and I totally respect that the grant is for improvements to the club. I absolutely respect that. So this has been I think what is happening is that we've taken down some fencing. We don't have good visual access over the stadium, so people are coming in and they've got a bit of cover of darkness in what they're doing there at the moment. And I think we're going through a transition where we haven't quite got it right yet. Right. And we're trying to take corrective action.
Well, obviously, the main thing is for the council and the football club to get along.
I have a great relationship.
Yeah, I get that. But it just sounds like there's something going on in the background there in relation to the idea of a fence around a stadium, which ain't new. Anyway, Emma...
Gary, the other thing is, I mean, my kid is a junior, and I think it would be fantastic to get the juniors out on game days and actually get them, you know, giving people wristbands. And you know, there's different ways of actually getting people to pay. I know that it would be great for volunteering for the kids. My son would absolutely love it. Loves hanging out down there and being part of the club. So there's lots of different ways to actually get people in and out and to you know, charge for games. We know that's an important part of the club's income. But the issue is that as soon as Florentina raises something with me, it is something that I really endeavour to solve the problem. And I do think there are some teething problems because we've gone from an exclusive 35-year lease for the club to the city taking back the facility, and of course there are going to be teething problems.
Right.
But my commitment to the club is that we're working through them, and we're going to do whatever we can to make it work. And if it doesn't work, then we'll look at it again.
All right. Well, let's hope that the idiots that did it in the first place get caught as well, because
absolutely,
that's where we get that. That's where all this starts. Thanks very much for that, Emma. Have a great Christmas.
You too, Gary. See you later.
Emma Cole and Peter Capsanis earlier on. He was the vice president of the Florida Athena Soccer Club. If you're around that area, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, there's one fence line now with an old rickety fence. What I thought they'd do is, yeah, that fence was ugly. I just thought they'd take that down and sort of replace it with something a bit more modern and a bit more eye-catching. But the need for a fence around a stadium is just a no-brainer. I mean, it's a stadia. It's there for an organised events, etc. I mean, there's security aspects to it. There are aspects of being able to charge people to come in, and yet there's kind of like warm fuzzy thing about opening it all up to the community. But honestly, there, I don't know how many acres, but there is vast amounts of land just next to it where people can go and do whatever they like around there on that grass. Why can't the stadium just be the stadium? 9221882.